If we are able to take as read the propriety of the charge, the correctness of the judicial process, and the righteousness of the conviction, there is always something heartening about seeing a former head of government and/or state ending up in the clink. It demonstrates that whichever jurisdiction has locked up its leader still rigorously observes that most fundamental principle of a civilized democracy, that no citizen is above the law, not even the citizens who make the law. On Monday, France's former president, Nicolas Sarkozy, was sentenced to 3 years for trying to bribe a judge. The court decided that Sarkozy had hinted that the magistrate in question, Gilbert Azibert, might be in line for an agreeable promotion to a cushy gig on the Côte d'Azur if he coughed up information on a different investigation into Sarkozy, examining bungs allegedly trousered during the 2007 election campaign which won Sarkozy the presidency. Azibert also got 3 years, ditto Sarkozy's lawyer Thierry Herzog, who had been party to the offer. Before we get properly into the ramifications, we do need to consider that there is both less and more to the story than this. Less in that it is far from certain that Sarkozy will consume a single helping of prison bisque. 2 years of his 3-year stretch were suspended, the remaining one could be deferred interminably or rescinded altogether by appeals, and at any rate, any time he does end up doing might be served under house arrest. Considering the likely expansive pleasantness of Chez Sarkozy and the fact that many people, in France as elsewhere, presently feel like they've all just served a year's house arrest themselves, this might not seem that much of a punishment. More, however, in that this is far from a conclusion to Sarkozy's present legal travails. He is due in the dock again next month on charges of overspending during his unsuccessful bid for a second presidential term in 2012, and prosecutors are also looking into picturesque claims that his 2007 campaign was funded in part by the unlamented Libyan dictator Muammar al-Gaddafi.
Firstly, Sarkozy must repay Libya the money he took for his election campaign. We helped him become president so that he would help the Libyan people, but he has disappointed us.
The immediate political implications of Sarkozy's sentencing are domestic. Whatever the ultimate result of appeals, etc., this conviction seems to rule him out of serious contention in next year's presidential election, in which Sarkozy had appeared to fancy his chances. France has elected obvious scoundrels to the top job before, when President Jacques Chirac won re-election against Jean-Marie Le Pen in 2002. Even some of Chirac's own supporters were chanting the slogan, "Vote for the crook, not the fascist." But by the time Chirac was actually convicted of anything, embezzling public funds back when he'd served as mayor of Paris, he had retired from politics. A barely relevant but nevertheless amusing side note, Chirac hated Sarkozy, his nominal fellow conservative, going out of his way in Chirac's memoirs, released as Sarkozy sought re-election in 2012, to describe Sarkozy as
irritable, imprudent,
rash,
trop sûr de soi,
overconfident, and allowing for no doubt, least of all regarding himself.
Et ne laissons aucun doute, encore moins en ce qui concerne lui-même.
But a moment like this can have a global resonance. This is not one of your penny-ante yarns of some book-cooking councillor, expenses-fiddling MP, or grifting governor getting rumbled taking liberties with the powers of their office. This is the gavel coming down on the former president of France, the world's seventh biggest economy, a nuclear-armed military heavyweight, a permanent member of the United Nations Security Council, a keystone of the EU and NATO, and the owner of a soft power footprint of barely calculable dimensions. It would be preferable, of course, if the example France set was one of not sending scofflaws to the Elysee Palace in the first place, but the example of trying and convicting a former president is nevertheless valuable. It's the kind of thing that can get people in less ruly and orderly places, run or recently run by even more flagrant criminals, wondering, why can't we do that? And in the current general context, it might even usefully stiffen the resolve of one of the few countries more wealthy and powerful than France. As is confirmed by the United States' many monuments to the Revolutionary War hero, the Marquis de Lafayette, it wouldn't be the first time that the French had encouraged Americans to deal appropriately with a dishonorable and unscrupulous tyrant. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.